Praise God. Well, it is Father's Day, and today I want to speak specifically to fathers. I mean, of course, this will be beneficial to all of us in some form, but I'm going to say specifically some things to fathers. So it's not that some of the things won't apply to mothers or parents in general, and you know, if you're in a household that there isn't a father, this I'm going to say some things that are specifically to fathers. These things can be applied, but I believe it's important. It's a day that we need to honor fathers, to look at what the Word specifically has to say to fathers. I want to read a few quotes to you as we get started. George Herbert said, "One father is worth more than 100 schoolmasters." You can see that that's true, especially in this day and age. Jean-Paul Richter said, "The words that a father speaks to his children in the privacy of home are not heard by the world, but, as in whispering galleries," you know, this is several centuries ago, "they are clearly heard at the end and by posterity." Abraham Lincoln said, "There is just one way to bring up a child in the way he should go, and that is to travel that way yourself." Paul Harvey, you guys know who Paul Harvey was, wonderful commentator on the human life and condition. He said, "A father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without an anesthetic. A father never feels worthy of the worship in a child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks, never quite the man his son believes him to be, and this worries him sometimes. So he works too hard to try and smooth out the rough places in the road for those of his own who will follow him. Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so they can have grandchildren who are smarter than anybody's. Fathers make bets with insurance companies about who will live the longest. One day they lose, and the bet's paid off to the part of them they leave behind." So a lot of times, even in churches, what we do on Mother's Day is, you know, have to exalt motherhood and praise mothers, and then sometimes to beat up and criticize fathers on Father's Day. And I don't think that's the intent, but I think that's what happens sometimes. And that's not my intent today. I want to speak directly to your hearts, men, you fathers, and encourage you, because we have a tough job. Again, we spoke to mothers on Mother's Day, and I'm not going to, everything I say, not counter it with the mother side of it, or we'll be here all day trying to balance everything out. But I'm speaking to fathers. We have a difficult job. It's because of the failure of some fathers and the absence of some fathers that the society is where it is today. And our society belittles the role of a father today. And it makes light of it. In fact, to the degree that it doesn't really matter. There's no difference between women and men, and they're just all just people, and you identify with whatever you identify. That's not true. And it belittles the role a father brings to his children in their development, and in the stability of the home. God made fathers in a certain way. He made men different than women. Each brings certain attributes to the relationship, certain attributes to child rearing, and over time, the role of a father has been diminished. It's become like its son. It's not socially acceptable to be the type of man and father that God created a man to be. The strength that is in a man is different than a strength that is in a woman, and he brings something different to his child's development, and we very much need it in men. The thing is, I'm just going to be honest, transparent as much as possible this morning when we're talking, or maybe transparent isn't the word, but straightforward. What Paul Harvey said, and I've seen this in numerous places, and it's true of men, when he said a father never feels worthy of the worship in a child's eyes, he never is quite the hero his daughter thinks, never quite the man his son believes him to be, and this worries him sometimes. This is something that men deal with. And what the devil will try to tell you is it's you. If you were better, if you were more together, you wouldn't feel that way, because there's these men out here that have it all together. They're the ideal father. There is something about manhood, and specifically fatherhood, that you feel, there's a temptation to feel less than adequate, because it's such a monumental job. With what God has placed, the responsibility of how, part of this responsibility of how a child turns out, they have responsibility. But how we train them ultimately falls on the father. That may not be politically correct, but it's the truth according to the Word of God. A man is responsible for his home. And we are all going to give account before God in how we handle that. And that can be crushing if we don't look at it correctly. It's a monumental responsibility to take a human life and to be responsible for directing that little person in the right steps. And there's something that will whisper to men. I've seen it over and over. I've read it in different accounts. There was a book called Wild at Heart. It was several, almost decades old, I think. But it was a very popular book back in, I want to say, like the early 2000s, maybe late 1990s. But there was part in there where it was very popular because it hit a chord among men. And it was so then, and it is so today, that it was a diminishing of masculinity, even in the Christian world, that everything was supposed to be real nicey-nicey and just basically more feminine. If you're a godly man, you're just nice about everything. You're just soft. And that's not all there is to men. And there's part of a man that doesn't fit that. And the more society tries to put that down, we're losing out on something that our children desperately need. And that's a strength and a character and a firmness sometimes that children need. And he stated in there that men have this, there's this underlying current among men that they're going to be exposed and found out not to be quite what they ought to be. They're not quite up to the task. It's an insecurity. It doesn't matter who your father was. We all had imperfect fathers. Some have better situations than others. But it is placed there and pushed on men by the enemy. No matter what the avenue was, it's pushed and placed there to try to make men feel insecure so that they won't rise up and take their God-given role. Because there's always something there that they don't quite feel strong enough or worthy to do it. And I think every man in here can identify it with it. You see, you do. You see your children and they'll say, "You're the best daddy ever. You're the best daddy in the world." And if you're honest, you hear, "That's nice, I'm your only daddy and that's all you know." But inside, there's so much more you could be. Right? I mean, there's a thought that will hit you that says, "That's coming from my child, but all of us fall short." Is that not right? It's there. It tries to ring, it tries to stay, it tries to steal even that your child is telling you how, in their eyes, you're succeeding. But there's a nag there that says, "You're not, and you never will quite be what you should be." That is of the enemy. And I want to encourage you this morning, men. Our role is not to be perfect. is not to be the perfect dad. God has placed in His Word principles that if we'll follow them, and listen to me carefully, because this is not, well, you ought to be doing this stuff, and if you're not, you're failing. God has placed principles that our job is just to instill them in our children. But He's placed different principles, and if we'll, they are not to be followed to perfection. That's not the message. It's to have a heart after God and after the things of God, and to follow them even when we're not perfect. And if we can pass that down to our children and show them love, show them forgiveness, show them how to deal with making mistakes, show them how to have a real relationship, then we are succeeding. It's not about showing them this picture perfect, this picture that's perfect of a man and what a father should be, because we're all flawed. It's not to make excuses for us, but we're not. The pinnacle of manhood was Jesus. He lived it perfectly, but none of us are going to reach that pinnacle. God is the perfect Father. Our job is to do the best we know how to do with where we are, letting the Word of God be our guide. We should keep increasing, but this is what we want to continually to get over to our children. Now I want to read you, let's look on your scripture sheet there. We'll read a few verses. That's all introduction. Deuteronomy 6:6. It says, "And these words which I command you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Notice verse 7, "You shall teach them these words which I command you." The Word of God, "you shall teach them diligently to your children." That means we're to put them before our children. What the most important way we do that is just in the way we live. But listen to me and stay with me on this. Okay? Because right there you can lose people saying, "Yeah, I know, I'm not doing everything I should," and you can disconnect. Don't disconnect. Because it's not about being perfect, it's about living godly. And part of living godly, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to say it up front and I'll repeat it, is to get back up when you make a mistake and handle it in a godly fashion. Go before God and say, "God, I missed it." If you messed up with your child, say, "I missed it. I'm sorry." And get up and go on and receive the cleansing in the blood of Jesus. And if we can model that for our children, they are going to have a healthy relationship with God. And that is our goal. It is not to model something that we are perfect all the time and everything is perfect, because when they get to be fathers and mothers, when they fall and they haven't seen how to reconcile and how to take care of failings, they'll feel like there's no hope for them because they've already failed, and they'll fold. Look at Joshua 24, verse 13. "I have given you a land which you did not labor, for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and you eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my household, or me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We have a choice to make, and we make it every day. We might make it several times in a day. You might get up, things are going well, You feel confident about the day. You go into it. You're close with God. And then something happens at work or some unexpected thing happens at home and you're faced with a choice. Am I going to make God my Lord in this situation? Something happens with your child. We're faced with a choice. Am I going to make him God? Am I going to trust him? Am I going to walk this through in a godly manner? We're faced with this choice over and over. Life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. We're faced with choices every day, and they're not necessarily easy. I wish we didn't have some of the challenges that we're faced with in life, but the fact is we live in a fallen world. We are faced with challenges. Jesus said we would be faced with challenges, but He said there is a way to overcome, and that way is to follow the Word of God, and that's what we're to instill in our children. Let's turn over to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 1. We'll start there. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4. Everybody there? It says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father." Notice that. These are words that are passed down from the Father. A direction for the child. "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine," or good teaching. "Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live.' Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you." Now notice, as we're reading this, what he's saying. He said, these are my words, but he's basing it on the words of the Lord. We don't have to come up with a new parenting style. We don't have to come up with a new strategy. We simply, what we're doing when we're fathering our children is passing on the Word of God to them. The good news is we don't have to get together all the what. Our job is to pass it on what has already been laid out for us to our kids. Ultimately, God is their father. We are merely stewards. We have some time when they're at home with us to train them, and then we have them as children the rest of our lives, but ultimately, they are God's children, just like you and I are God's children. We were children of God when we were in our parents' home, whether we had a father, when we listened to our father, whatever example was set, we were still God's children. God was looking out for us. He may have used, none of us had the ideal upbringing, but no matter what the circumstance was, God can use other father figures. He can use the Word of God. He can use His Word, but He was fathering us regardless of what was going on in our home, because we are ultimately His children as Christians. We have come into the family of God, and our job as fathers is to direct our kids to the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit have access to their hearts. Let the Word of God let their hearts be exposed to the Word of God. Let it take root in their hearts, that seed. The Bible says His Word will not return void. Now every person has a choice Every child has a choice as to what they will do with that word that's been implanted. We will all be accountable before God as to what we did. It's not all on our parents. We have responsibility. And fathers, it's not all our responsibility. How our children turn out completely, they have something to do with it, but we are accountable and responsible to sow the word of God to them. The good thing is we don't have to have it all figured out. We can still sow the word of God, even if we haven't attained everything. Yes, ideally, we want to walk out the word as much as possible in every area because that is the best way to live. But the truth of the matter is that we're all works in progress and we will fail. That's not a bad confession. We don't want to fail. We're not planning to fail. But the fact is, at some times we'll come up short. That doesn't keep us from still preaching and or declaring the Word of God, planting that Word into our children, because that gives God access to their hearts. That gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. We do it regardless. Don't let the enemy discourage you. Well, you're not arrived. You're not in the state where you should be sharing the Word of God. They'll get the wrong idea. That's exactly when we need to share the Word of God. We're showing that we reverence God's Word and that if we'll be honest with our kids, that we're a work in progress and just go to them and ask forgiveness if we do blow it. That is an example of godliness. And they will understand what it is when they make mistakes. That they looked at you and said, that's okay, Dad made mistakes too, but he kept on going and he was a good man. He was a godly man. One of the hardest things to do is to ask for forgiveness. So notice he's already said, give attention to what I'm saying. It's brought me through. Get wisdom. Get understanding. God's word is wisdom and understanding. It will show us what to do. It will give our children wisdom in situations. It will come back to them when they need it, when they're older. Verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Wisdom. What is wisdom? It's the right use of knowledge. God's word gives us understanding and wisdom, shows us how to live life that can be beyond our years. Isn't that what we want for our children? We want them to make wise choices, not get caught up in what's around them that we know is so transient. We know because we've been there. We've seen the fleeting fancy of classmates and fads and things go up and down and we can see that. But God's Word is what's going to give them ultimate wisdom to have the ability to make decisions far beyond their years and to see past the current and the present situation and see down into history or down into the future where these decisions will have bearing on their life. The Word of God with the Holy Spirit speaking to them is what will give them that ability ultimately. Ultimately, we're not trying to get them to follow us. We're trying to build a relationship into them that give them a relationship with God so that they can move forward and be children of God independently. Verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. The Word of God increases the years of life because you live life the way God intended. That's what God would have for us. That's what God would have for our children. Verse 11, I have taught you in the ways of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Notice what this person is saying. Hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast. These things will help you run in life's race. They will keep you from stumbling. It's your very life. Verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. Their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Stay away from those things that we know will cause heartache, will cause loss. The Father is laying down rules. He's not being mealy-mouthed about it. He's not being soft about it. He's saying, this is what you need to do. Don't mess with this. Don't even entertain it. Get away from it. It will hurt you. But there's a firmness. There's a straightforward approach. It's not, these are not mincing words here. Do not do this. This is bad. This is what you want to do. Our society has gotten so gray where it's just, well, you see what happens, what you feel like, what are your friends doing? It's just, you know, wherever, whatever you feel good about, whatever fits the situation. God's Word is not like that. And we as fathers, yes, we're supposed to be caring and soft and understanding like God is. But God is firm. He's gracious, but He is not a pushover, and He does not just give uncertain direction. He gives firm direction. And children need firm direction. They need to know we are confident in what we believe, and the way to be confident is to base our beliefs on God's Word. Give them the Word of God. It doesn't matter if you're working things out yourself. We still give them the Word and say, this is God's Word. God can take that. That is stable. That is secure. That is true for all time. And can build security and strength. If they will build their life on the rock, they will not be shaken when life's winds blow. Now, when we say all this, keep in mind we're saying this, our job, again, is not to come up with the strategy like we have to reinvent the wheel. Our job is to have a genuine relationship with our children and point them to the Word of God the best we know how, where we are. That's what we're to do. Satan tries to get in there and divide and beat men up to say, you're not worthy, you're not like this person, you're not doing a good job. That doesn't make you want to go forward. That doesn't make you want to come to church. That doesn't make you want to live life. That makes you want to run. Because when we feel discouraged, we feel like we're not up to the task, like we're just not good enough, that makes you want to quit anything. But God, that is not the voice of God. Did you hear me? That's not godly. God, it does not tear people down. On the other hand, He doesn't just, like I said, He's not mealy-mouthed either. But we've confused the two. We've tried to make everything okay, and it's just if you just pat the child on the back and say, well, you're just doing great, even if they're not, even if they're going down a road that could kill them, but that we'll just let them figure out because we don't want to offend them. That's so prevalent in today's society. God gave it to a father to lay down what God's Word says and to be firm about it, to be straightforward, and to do it in love. To say, child, this, I love you too much to let you do this. I love you too much. This will hurt you. And to be straight with them. Kids want this. I said they want this. They want the stability. I think this is a good place. I have something to read to you, and then we'll continue in Proverbs. But I think this would be a good place to insert this. Because this is a few years ago. I'm going to read you an article that was from Ann Landers, and it was about something that was done in a youth center. But our society keeps trying to push and tell us that we can't be firm. We can't lay down right principles because you're just going to damage the child's self-esteem, or you're going to hurt them, or they're going to run away from God. That's a lie. They will run away from legalism. They will not run away from godly love and instruction. Those are two different things. You can be legalistic and not even know God. And that's what people rebel. That's what children rebel against. They don't rebel against a loving enforcement of rules and regulations. Our society is built on it. And fathers, we're part of it. That's part of our job. This article was dated September 29th, 1999. It was Ann Landers' column. It was titled, Parents' Behavior Can Help Children. It says, a youth minister who was assigned to a youth correction prison for his summer work asked the boys for clues as to why they had ended up in that institution. He then asked them to draw up a code for parents to follow, zeroing in on specific areas where their own parents had failed. Here's what emerged. So these are the rules, the guidelines, the code from the children, from these youth. Number one, keep cool. Don't fly off the handle. Keep the lid on when things go wrong. Kids need to see how much better things turn out when people keep their tempers under control. Now stay with me on this. There's a few things. Just listen. Don't get strung out from booze or too many pills. When we see our parents reaching for those crutches, we get the idea that it is perfectly okay to reach for a bottle or pill when things get heavy. Children are careful observers and great imitators. Now notice these. Bug us a little. Be strict. Show us who is boss. We need to know we have got some strong supports under us. When you cave in, we get scared. Don't blow your class. Stay on that pedestal. Don't try to dress, dance, or talk like your kids. You embarrass us and you look ridiculous. Light a candle. Show us the way. Tell us God is not dead or sleeping or on vacation. We need to believe in something bigger and stronger than ourselves. You see this every day. If we don't fill the gap and fill that void with God, youth will fill it with something because they want to believe in something. Youth can be rallied. Youth can be gathered together, and people of evil design, they use it to their advantage. But that is God, that is put in by God so that people will run after the Almighty and be zealous for Him. Young people are made this way. Now notice this. This is the language here. And this is used in a good way. But it says, scare the hell out of us. It says, if you catch us lying, stealing, or being cruel, get tough. Let us know why we did what was wrong. And this is crucial. Just saying this is wrong and you're dumb for doing it does not get the job done. Why would that hurt us? Why would we not want to do it? Well, God's Word tells us why. Avoid this because it will kill you. Because you'll end up in a bad condition. Again, it's relationship. Let us know why we did what we did was wrong. Impress on us the importance of not repeating such behavior. When we need punishment, dish it out. But let us know you still love us, even though we have let you down. If you make us think twice, it will make us think twice before we do that same thing again. Call our bluff. Make it easy or make it clear you mean what you say. Don't cave in, and don't be intimidated by our threats to drop out of school or leave home. Stand up to us, and we'll respect you. Kids don't want everything they ask for. Be honest. Tell us the truth no matter what, and be straight arrow about everything. We can take it. Lukewarm answers make us uneasy. We can smell uncertainty a mile away. The bottom line is that we want you to tell it like it is. Praise us when we deserve it. If you give us a few compliments once in a while, we will be able to accept criticism a lot easier. Now, I thought to insert that now rather than later, because so much of that is actually hitting kids right where they're at and not skirting the issue. And so much of what we've heard is to skirt it and not just be direct, not punish, be soft, don't call their bluff. And basically, it puts the child in charge. And the firmness that a father innately, without all this mumbo-jumbo that's been crammed down our throats, without all that, there is something in a dad, in a man, that's like you're getting out of line, you need to be whooped, you need to be put into line, and all that is not politically correct now. But it is for the best of a child, and we've tried to suppress it because we've been told that's somehow wrong, and the fact is it's godly. Being mean is not godly. Being firm and sure and following through is. Boy, you guys are quiet this morning, but I want to preach it anyway. Man, I'm encouraging you. You be who God created you to be in line with the Word of God. I don't care if it's politically correct. I don't care if it's what you see on TV. Most of that stuff is trash. It's trying to put before us an image of a weak, godless man that won't stand up for his family and for the good of his children. And it's trying to paint a picture of something that will actually destroy the family, and people that stand up and that have a spine and that get with the children. It takes guts to get down where the children live, talk to them honestly, be their dad. Amen. Just even as long as I've lived, and I'm not that old, but you see how society has changed, where stuff, kids talk to their parents where it just would not even be tolerated. Just in society, the disrespect shown to authority is just insane. But we've been told we can't be firm. The way kids will talk to teachers. It used to be, man, you got called out for doing something to a teacher, you were in trouble. I don't ever want to hear from the principal's office or a teacher, your rear end is in trouble when you get home. But now it's like the teacher's wrong. If he even barely says anything to hurt the poor little baby's feelings. Huh? No, it's this lack of firmness and masculinity. God created you men to be strong. And I'm not saying women aren't strong. There's a difference, and I'm not going there. I'm saying there's a certain strength about a man. Yes, it's not as smooth edges. You just look at a man, you look at a woman, they're different. Women are softer. Men have these angles. It goes with the way men are in their personality and then in their behavior. Men are not, by nature, as clean, as nice cut, all this stuff you need, you know. That's why women get it, makes things pretty and nice. But we don't want to try to make all the men into women and act like women. God made men the way He made them, and it's godly and it's supposed to be like that. Yes, you can be too crude and too rough, but there is a balance where men should be allowed to be men, and they need to be allowed to be fathers. We need strong men that know who they are in God and will pass down that strength to their children. That will be honest with their daughters. Men, you know what's in the mind of that teenage boy. Because you've been there. Huh? to be frank with our daughters, to know, look, you're going to date that boy, he's going to go through me. That may be old school, but we need more old school. You will talk to me first before, and if that boy doesn't have the guts to come and talk to the dad, then you don't need to be talking to them because they're not the type of boy you need to be messing with. That might not be popular, but we need to stand up and protect our families and be straight with them, and they will appreciate it. The opposite thing is much worse if we don't let them know the dangers. Why does God's Word say it? Just because we want to check a box and just say we're goody two-shoes? No, God's Word is laid down because it's the best way to live life. And it actually will go well with you when you listen to what God... Because God's been around, what His Word is tried and true, and those that follow His Word are acting in wisdom. Amen. We need to support men and fathers in this. Not try to change them. Like I said, there's a balance. But don't try to make a father into a mother. They're not. There are things that God has put specifically in a father, and a child needs what's in a father. Verse 18, Proverbs 4:18, it says, but the path, notice it's talking about, you just got done saying, the father's saying, you stay off the path of wickedness, you don't mess with that stuff, you get away from it. Then he says, verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. He's saying the path of the righteous, if you'll follow God's Word, it just keeps getting better and better and better and better. Doesn't mean you won't have trials, but you get stronger. This is that not what we want for our children? We got to tell them, no, God's Word. You follow God's Word. You follow what God says for your life. You go before God and you follow His plan for your life. You get His direction. Counseling is okay, and these different tests, personality tests, and skill inventory, they all have their place, but they don't take the place of a relationship with God and giving our children the direction to go get His plan for your life and follow that. And then you use your skills. You use your abilities. But He might give you something to do that looks like your abilities don't fit it. And that's when we have to trust Him that He knows something we don't know. And He's bringing things up in us that we can't see. And He's bringing us to a stronger and better day. And you need to have a firm hand to guide a child through that. Guide a young adult through that. Verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of wickedness, or the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. They are health to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. He's saying, you get these words in your heart. You keep them there. You be strong. You don't go to the left. You don't go to the right. You do what the commands tell you to do. You hide them in your heart. You stay strong and follow them. This father is giving his children direction, guidance. He says specifically his son for what's been in him, what he's followed. And fathers, that's our job. You may not do it perfectly. We're not going to do it perfectly. But be encouraged that if we're directing them to the Word of God, if we're bringing them to church, getting them exposed, it's an avenue for the Lord to mold that heart, to mold them, to bring them forward, to help them, to strengthen them, to guide them. Praise God. We'll close here. Look on your sheet. Let's just read through these last few verses. Psalm 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed." Children are a heritage, and we're pointing them in a direction. Psalm 112, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house forever. His righteousness endures forever." This is the man that puts God's word, he puts it in front of his children. He lives after God. His heart is after His commandments. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." Ephesians 6:1 through 4 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and may live long on the earth. Verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Notice that in the Amplified. Look at the second part. "Rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord." That's our job, is just to show them the Word of God, to bring it before them, to raise them up, to encourage them to follow God. And finally, Proverbs 24:16, it says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." Even when we blow it, and dads, again, it's not a bad confession, but at some point, we're likely going to blow it. How we handle that mistake is again an example. If we are always laying down the law, and this is what people rebel against, but we don't explain, we don't acknowledge when we miss it, that's what drives children away. It's not the making of the mistake so much if we are working to make it right and a work in progress. Our children know we're not perfect. They know we don't have it all together. But it's that godly attitude that we have put God's word first. We've put God at the head of our house. We are going to direct our children there. We're going to follow after Him. We're going to give them the Word of God. We're going to give them godly counsel. And we let them know that just like them, we're a work in progress. We're doing our best to walk this out. And when we miss it, we acknowledge it and say, "I blew it, son. I blew it, daughter. Will you forgive me? My intent is to not do that again, to do better." They see forgiveness. They see reconciliation. They see how the blood of Jesus covers wrongdoings. They see that they don't have to be perfect. And we just keep going like that and building a relationship with them. This, men, God sees us. He knows where we are. He knows our hearts. And if we'll just do what He told us to do and just implement it, it's not that we have to be the perfect father, this person that just has all the accolades and does everything right. What we'd have to do is just have a heart after Him, put His word in front, do our best to follow it, and God is well pleased with that. I think sometimes we've we've let the enemy discourage us from even trying because we have these ideals in our head, and God has just said, you bring my word to them, you train them up, you do what you know to do, and I'm well pleased with that. So be encouraged today. Take a hold of our godly responsibility. Make up your mind. You're not going to be pushed off what God has called you to do just because you haven't done it to some, you know, maybe false ideal, but that God knows your heart, that your children need somebody that's strong and stable and secure in God. And if you say your first reaction is, well, I'm not there yet, acknowledge it, get up, go on, keep going, and God will strengthen us to help His children ultimately fulfill what they're called to do. Amen.